here in first through sixth grade, we have a specific children's service for you. If you have children that age, you'd like to take advantage of that specific children's worship service, you can head to the back to the children's church. Take our Bibles, turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to be. I'm so excited to be back in the book of Mark. For the message, I'd like to invite you. I know it's kind of weird to talk about the evening service before the morning service message, but tonight we're going to have a little bit of a family time, a little bit of a family meeting as we lay out what we're looking forward to this coming year, as well as in the 2020s moving forward. Many of you are new to our church. I would not consider myself to be super new to the church. I've been here for 2 years. Some of you have been here, have come after I came as the pastor. Some of you have been here for many, many, many years. And if you think back where Community Baptist Church was in 2010, 10 years ago, and where we are today, what I'd like to do is look forward to 2030 and to say, where do we want to be in the next 10 years? What is the path that's going to set us forward to be obedient to biblical principles, to pursue a mission of the church that would be in alignment with God's mission and God's heart? And I'm really excited to present that to you. One thing we'll be presenting to kind of pique your interest would be for the past 6 months, the deacons and the board and I have been working through a new missions policy. We pulled Pastor Stedman in, who's the head of a missions organization. He used to be the pastor here. We've written a 6-page missions policy and an exciting moving forward in our missions program of where we're going to be going and partnering with our missionaries. It's an enhanced partnership opportunity for all of our missionaries going forward, and we're going to be presenting that to you tonight as part of our plan for the coming years and where Community is going and as we continue to pursue the mission of the church. If you consider yourself to be part of Community, I would like to encourage you to be back. If you can't be back, I'd like to encourage you to live stream. But if you can, try to be here with us. I know many of you are thinking about membership and you consider yourself to be a part of the church. I'd like to invite you specifically to make it a point to come back tonight. I assume all of our membership will be here, but I'd like for you to make it a point to come back tonight so you can be a part of that family meeting to see as we outline what we believe God would have for us in the coming year as well for the next 10 years as we start a new decade here at Community Baptist Church. Mark chapter 10 is where we are. We've made our way almost all the way through the chapter. It's been a while since we've looked at the book of Mark. It's like coming back to an old friend. And we're going to begin here in verse 46, which is going to be our passage for the morning. Beginning of verse 46, follow along as I read down through verse 52. And they, that's Jesus and his disciples, on their traveling came to Jericho. And as he was leaving, Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The passage before us this morning has been one of my favorite miracles of Christ ever since I was a boy. I remember sitting on the floor of a small Sunday school room, staring at a flannel graph board as the teacher outlined for us blind Bartimaeus. It didn't matter that blind Bartimaeus was also the character that was up there that represented Moses and Joseph and so many other people. I remember sitting there and looking at that baby blue flannel graph board. You guys remember those? One day those are going to come back and they're going to be all the rage, okay? And the teacher outlining Jesus and this great crowd and this blind beggar calling out, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, have mercy on me. There are a couple things that are unique to this account of blind Bartimaeus. First of all, this is the only time that Mark actually records the name of the person that Jesus heals. There are other people around the healing normally that are named, but this is the only time in Scripture that we actually see the name of the person who's healed. And Mark shifts in his language here to pull you into this story. And there's several reasons why. We'll talk about that at the end of the message. But this is a very unique account. It's the last healing in the entire book. It's the only healing that includes this concept of mercy, and the name of the guy is actually given. And so this is a very unique account according to Mark. It's the climax of chapter 10. It's the climax of Jesus' journey before entering into Jerusalem. And here we have this unbelievable healing of a blind man named Bartimaeus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's the only one in the group that understands the ramifications of what's about to happen. He knows that once he enters into Jerusalem, he will eventually be betrayed, he'll be arrested, he'll be tried and crucified, and then he'll rise again. But he's motivated by a heart of love and mercy to go through the city of Jericho, continue his journey. Jesus' last stop before Jerusalem is the city that you're probably familiar with by name, Jericho. Jericho is known for many things, one of them being that Jericho is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities on earth. You can actually visit it today. Many of you, when you think of Jericho, may think of the children of Israel walking around the walls when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls, what? The walls came tumbling down, right? That's the Old Testament city of Jericho. This city was not located in the same place. It was moved after it was destroyed. It was moved several miles south and rebuilt. Traveling with Jesus were his disciples. As Jesus got closer to the city, the crowd continued to grow and continued to grow until the mass of people took over the streets, causing quite a stir in the city. Some in the crowd, especially the disciples, believed that Jesus was the Messiah. However, there were others in the crowd who did not embrace Christ as God. Much like churches in the world today, there are many who come who embrace Christ as Lord, and perhaps there are some, even with us this morning, who have not taken that step of faith. Some were genuine followers of him. Others had just jumped on the bandwagon, assuming that Jesus was here to do something good for them, assuming that Jesus was here to make their life better. They were fans of Christ. They were not followers of him. The crowd continued to grow as Jesus made his way through the city. Big cities like Jericho, much like big cities today, attract all sorts of people, the rich, the famous, the poor, the outcasts. Among the latter was a group of people called beggars. These beggars were forced to live on the streets of Jericho, relying on the goodwill of the passerbys to help them survive. Usually they'd sit along the side of the road or perhaps sit at the city gate pleading with people for mercy, often preying on those who were just traveling through the city and didn't know them. We don't have beggars like this in America today. When you hear of this, perhaps you're tempted to think of a person sitting or standing in a median with a cardboard sign that says, need money for food, need help. But friends, this is not the picture. I've had the opportunity and the wonderful privilege to travel in many different countries for ministry purposes. And I had the opportunity many years ago to travel to the country of India. When I flew into the city of the area of Hyderabad, India, in the Andhra Pradesh region, we were holding evangelistic meetings there, and I had the opportunity to preach at a youth rally. But on the drive to where we were going, something happened that really caught me off guard. And that is, at every red light, our car would be swarmed with beggars. These beggars weren't like the homeless that you'll see in South Bend. These beggars were missing limbs, some of them small children, many of them blind, maimed, contorted in unbelievable positions. Some of them made like that from masters who had caused that harm in order to get money. And here on the sides of the road in India, as you drive, you see people sitting in rags, covered in filth, deformed, hopeless, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them, all over the streets of India. I can't even describe for you what it's like. And anyone who's been confronted with this knows exactly what I'm talking about. Words can't even explain. Friends, that's the picture here. Is that Bartimaeus is not standing by the road with a cardboard sign. Bartimaeus is a beggar. Covered in filth and disease, he's blind. He's sitting in his rags by the road. He'd been a beggar for some time, rising early every morning and putting on his only worldly possession, his thin cloak. Cloaks were an important item in the first century. Often this was the only protection a person would have from the elements. It was a large outer garment that people would wrap over themselves, and it was the only garment over thin undershirts under a thin undergarment. And Bartimaeus' cloak, no doubt, was thin and threadbare, more than likely received secondhand, one cast off by a traveler. But at least it offered a little bit of protection from the wind and the rain as he sat outside by the road. Mark identifies this beggar by a very specific name. It's not just any beggar. Matthew tells us there were actually two, but Mark draws our attention just to one. His name is Bartimaeus. Literally, Bar, the son of Timaeus. And he says it with emphasis towards his readers, as if they would know who he's talking about. This was blind Bartimaeus. We don't know whether he had been blind from birth or whether he was blinded by a sickness or an injury. The text doesn't tell us how he became blind, only that his sight was totally gone. He knew people were repulsed by his presence. He knew when the street wasn't crowded, they walked as far away from him as possible, trying to ignore him. Without the ability to see, his other senses had been sharpened. He could almost feel people as they walked by, often being able to tell whether or not they were wealthy by the sound of their clothes or the smell of their clothing. Bartimaeus was a hopeless case. No hope of ever improving his life. He was totally helpless. He was struggling just to survive. Each one of us can identify with this beggar. Friends, you and I are just like Bartimaeus. We were born blind, unable to see the truth, unable to see the light of the gospel and respond to the love of Christ on our own. We were hopeless because nothing cures blindness. We were helpless because we were unable to open our own eyes. We were unable to walk. We were unable to pursue anything. Totally destitute, just like Bartimaeus. And not only is each person born blind, hopeless, and helpless, you and I were born totally destitute, empty of any righteous favor before God, empty of any goodness. Ephesians chapter 2 explains to us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and once we walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that's now at work in the children of disobedience, we lived according to the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And that's a bleak picture just like Bartimaeus. We were beggars. So when we see Bartimaeus, let's see ourselves in a spiritual light. Bartimaeus was blind, hopeless, helpless, and totally destitute. However, recently, in his heart, a little spark of hope had returned. Because of his lack of sight, Bartimaeus' hearing had gotten especially good, and he relied on his hearing to alert him when people were around. He would listen to people talk as they walked by the gate and as they entered into the city. He may have prodded them to hear the news of the outside world because this was his only source of news of what was going on. And often a name began to come up that was, he was starting to get familiar with. It was this name of Jesus. Now, Jesus was a pretty common name, but the news of one specific Jesus had everybody in a buzz for about the past year. This Jesus of Nazareth, was different in that he claimed to be the Messiah. Then Bartimaeus heard something that took his breath away. Jesus of Nazareth had healed a blind man. He listened with rapt attention as the traveler told the story of Jesus stooping down, mixing spittle with dirt and rubbing it on this blind man's eyes, and then healing him from his blindness. Was this possible? Was it possible that a man could heal blindness? Bartimaeus' mind was drawn back to the words that he had heard read from the synagogue for so many years, from Isaiah chapter 35, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Prophesying Messiah coming, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come, and he will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute shall leap for joy. Surely this Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. Surely he was God, come in the flesh. If only he would come to Jericho. If only he could come and see Bartimaeus. That day started like any other, and then he started to hear a faint stirring around him. He could feel the ground as people began to walk, and the crowd was growing, and he started asking what was going on, and everyone seemed more excited than normal, and then he heard the name. Jesus. Jesus was here. He began to ask around and to clarify so that someone would answer him. He kept asking, what's going on? Which Jesus? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's coming through the streets of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. His prayers had been answered. The crowd was getting thicker and thicker, but blind Bartimaeus knew that he had to get to Jesus. This was his one chance. He was the only one that could help him regain his sight. So Bartimaeus did the only thing that he knew how to do. He started yelling. Literally, Mark tells us that Bartimaeus began to scream. The word here used for calling out, crying out in our scripture is a Greek word that carries with it the idea of an unpleasant sound. It's the difference between calling out and screaming. If I told you yesterday morning was kind of rough, my wife called out to me. It carries a very different meaning than my wife screamed at me, which would never happen in our home, by the way, just so we're all clear. That carries a very different meaning. And that's the difference here, is that Bartimaeus wasn't just yelling. He wasn't just calling out. He was screaming. So much so that it annoyed the people around him. Out of desperation, he was screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is not a polite question. This is the desperate scream of a desperate man. And he called out over and over and over again. In reference to this passage, James Edwards states this: the kingdom of heaven, it's been said, is not for the well-meaning, but for the desperate. Bartimaeus is desperate, and his desperation was the doorway to his faith. Friends, have you ever been desperate for Christ? You ever come to the point in your life to where you were desperate for God? Have you ever seen Christ as your only answer? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you recognize that you are totally destitute, totally in need? You recognize your true condition. You understand that outside of Jesus, you have no hope. And in this desperation, you didn't turn to money, and you didn't turn to your spouse, or you didn't turn to possessions. You turned to the only one who had the answer. And in desperation, you cried out to Jesus. Friends, the confession of this desperate beggar is the confession that every person must make in order to be granted salvation, in order to gain access to God. Every single person must come to the understanding that they are totally destitute and desperate to find Christ. And here Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And let's look at exactly what he said. He identified specifically who Jesus was. It wasn't one of many. It wasn't some random deity. It was Jesus. He identified him correctly. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary. Jesus who came from a specific city. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus and only Jesus was the answer. The song goes this way: who has the power to raise the dead, who can save us from our sin. He's our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus. He calls him the Son of David. This was the link to Jesus as the Messiah, according to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Calling him this also identified him as the true King of Israel. In essence, Bartimaeus referred to Jesus with the title of the Son of David, in saying that this was a statement that Jesus was the one who was promised from the Old Testament. Jesus was the Messiah. He's Jesus from Nazareth. He's the Messiah. But blind Bartimaeus asks only one thing: have mercy on me. With that question, he assumes that Jesus is God. Nobody could change Bartimaeus' position but God himself. Nobody could help Bartimaeus but God. Have mercy on me. In this statement, Bartimaeus understands his need, his position, his lowliness, his hopelessness, his standing before God. Yet he also understands God's holiness, God's power, and God's mercy, and God's love. People around him, in hearing this scream, began to get embarrassed by this uncouth action towards this rabbi, rebuked this disgusting blind beggar. They rebuked him and tried to silence him. Surely Jesus does not have time for beggars. Surely Jesus doesn't have time to spend with vagabonds like this. He needs to be with the Pharisees, right? Vagrants had no place in religion. Religion was for nice people, clean people who had it all together, right? Their attempts to silence him obviously were futile. The more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. Have you ever met someone like that? The more you tell them to settle down, the more worked up they get. This is what was happening very clearly here in the text. They tried to silence him, and he continued all the more, screaming louder with more intensity. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even though the people in the crowd try to silence this beggar, Bartimaeus would not be silenced. Why? Because he was desperate. He knew he needed a Savior. No one was going to keep him from Jesus. Then something amazing happened. Jesus stopped walking. If you have a pen and you write in your Bible, you can circle that wonderful phrase, "Then Jesus stopped." I want you to think about that phrase for a minute. Jesus is making his way through Jericho with this gigantic, enormous crowd. He's walking through the streets, and there's this vile, disgusting, diseased, blind beggar who's screaming at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," over and over and over again. And then the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself, stops walking. And he looks towards Bartimaeus and he tells people to call him. Bring him over here. Friends, the ears of Jesus are always open to those who are calling in desperation. On this earth, you will never call out to Jesus and find him turning away from you. You will never call out for salvation and be left wanting, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus recognized this plea for mercy. He stopped this blind beggar and he called him to himself. And on hearing this call from Jesus, Bartimaeus immediately throws off his cloak. Remember, this is his only possession. Nothing was keeping him from the mercy of Jesus. He throws away his cloak and he begins to reach out his hands and make his way through the crowd trying to find this Jesus. And the crowd takes him and leads him by the arm straight to the presence of Jesus. And it's here at the feet of the Creator of the universe that we see God's beautiful mercy. Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I know it's been a long time since we've been in the book of Mark, but had we preached this consecutively, that question would come up in your mind and say, wait a minute, somebody else asked Christ something and Christ gave them that same question back. What do you want me to do for you? And it would be back in Mark chapter 10 with James and John. This question was given to them as well, back in verse 36. James and John came to Christ, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And so Mark is pitting the two against each other. You have the request of James and John, and Christ says, "What do you want?" Then you have the request from Bartimaeus. Christ says, "What do you want?" The answer from James and John revealed the ugliness of their pride as they asked for a special place in the kingdom of God. And so we have to ask the question, if you're just reading through it, how is Bartimaeus going to respond? Is he going to ask for money? Is he going to ask for better status? Is he going to ask for a new cloak because he left his back by the roadside? What's he going to ask for? Because Jesus just gave him a blank check. What would you like me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus makes only one simple statement. It's a simple statement of faith. "Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Let me recover my sight." Bartimaeus refers to Jesus as Rabbi, which seems at first to be the normal reference that many have used. All throughout the New Testament and Scriptures, you see people calling Jesus Rabbi. But this was different. Mark chapter 9 and verse 5, Peter said, "Rabbi, it's good we're here." That was at the transfiguration moment. A little bit later on in Mark 11, we'll get to later, Peter said, "Rabbi, look." Mark 14, Judas betrays Jesus by walking up and saying, "Rabbi." This happens a lot. However, this title of rabbi is different than all the others except one. The Greek word for this, it's kind of hard to remember, it's rabbi, okay? It's just a transliteration of this exact word. But then there's a special word for rabbi, rabboni, that the Jews would use only when praying to God, the great teacher, the special teacher, God who teaches me. In other words, there are many rabbis, but there's only one rabboni. And here, when Bartimaeus comes, it's the first instance, and only one of two instances in Scripture, it's the first instance that we see someone with this incredible faith calling out, making a request, praying to Jesus as God, and saying, "Rabboni, God, grant for me my sight." The only other time we see this brought to our attention is in John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, and when she turned around and saw Jesus standing after his resurrection, she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means, capital T, teacher, the great teacher, God himself. These are the only two times in Scripture that we see this word brought to our attention. The only two times it's used. Bartimaeus, blinded from birth. Mary Magdalene, blinded by her tears. Both of them turn to Jesus and they call him God. And friends, Jesus is God. He's the only wise God. Bartimaeus asked Jesus to do something that only God could do, give sight to the blind. And so Jesus, full of compassion, grants his plea for mercy. Matthew tells us that Jesus reached down and touched the eyes of Bartimaeus, and with the touch of Jesus, he restored his sight. However, Jesus didn't stop at just the physical healing. He told Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." If you're reading in the King James, it says, "Your faith has made you whole." You realize that this word is the word used most often in the New Testament for being saved. Your faith has saved you. It was the faith of this blind beggar that healed not only his physical sight, but his spiritual sight also. He was immediately granted perfect sight. And the first thing he saw was the face of Jesus. Jesus' command to Bartimaeus is very interesting. Jesus tells him, "Go your way." What he's saying is, continue your life. He touches his eyes, and then he says, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." That's the only command that Jesus gives to Bartimaeus. Continue on with your life. You have sight now. You can get a job. You can be a normal citizen. You can go make money and take care of your family. But that's not what Bartimaeus chose to do. Bartimaeus, rather than following his own dreams, rather than going his own way, immediately follows Christ. And this, my friends, this last sentence is the culmination of the entirety of chapter 10. And if you're not careful, you could miss it. It's the whole point that Mark is building towards in talking about discipleship. This entire chapter has been centered around the theme of following Christ. This theme of discipleship. The rich young ruler tries to come to Christ without desperation, without full dependence. And Christ says, "Yes, you can follow me, but you have to be dependent first. You're relying on your riches to get you to heaven, so go sell everything that you have and follow me." He wasn't saying only poor people could follow Christ. He was putting his finger on the heart of the rich young ruler and saying, "You can't be saved, you're trusting in your wealth." Did the rich young ruler sell everything he had and follow Christ? No, he didn't. He went away sorrowful. But friends, that's not what happened to Bartimaeus. The beggar that once sat beside the road because he came to Jesus in desperate faith now walked along the road following him. Jesus changed Bartimaeus from destitute to a disciple, from a beggar to a child of God. He changed him from blind to seeing. Faith opened the eyes of the blind. Because all who come in genuine faith, whose eyes have been opened to the truth, follow Christ. This word "followed," I know we've been really technical with the word "rabbi" and now with the word "followed," but this is given in a really unique sense here. For those of you who are way smarter than me and like English and language arts and grammar, you can write down as the imperfect active indicative, and I only know that because I had to look it up, and then I had to go look up what that means, okay? And it's in little nuggets like that, when you mine the depths of Scripture, that you find some incredible truth. Because this word given in this tense means this: Bartimaeus began following Jesus, and he followed, and he followed, and he followed, and he never stopped following. It's an action that begins and never ends. He followed till the end. He didn't know where the path was going. He didn't know where following Jesus would take him, but it didn't matter. Jesus had given him sight. Jesus had saved him. What else is there to talk about? Jesus was better than the trees and animals he'd never looked at. Jesus was better than his family he had never seen with his eyes. Jesus was better than the money that he could now make since he was healed. And all of these things, following Jesus was better because he had spiritual sight. Jesus, out of his own mercy, had granted Bartimaeus sight. The only proper response was to follow him. I believe that that Bartimaeus continued to follow Christ after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. And I believe that Bartimaeus became a leader in the first century church. Why do I believe that? Because Mark calls him by name as if his readers knew who he's talking about. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he used to be blind, but now he's following Christ. And I can't prove that, but there are only two really reasons why Mark would offer his name. One would be to explain to his Gentile readers how Hebrew people get their names. Bartimaeus, Bar Timaeus, son of Timaeus. The other option is to call the readers to the name they recognize. And friends, the second option is the one that I believe is going on here. Because he followed Christ, and he followed, and he followed, and he followed, and he kept following for the rest of his life. And he took on the mission of Christ. I would like to believe that maybe he even went back to Jericho to become a missionary to his own people. Don't be confused this morning, friends. When a person is saved, he's changed. A believer has been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old written code. And don't miss John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one, because genuine faith always results in following. You cannot be saved and not be changed. And the positive will say it this way: if you've been saved, you have been changed. And if you've not been changed, you haven't been saved. You may have prayed a prayer. You may have walked an aisle. You may have had a spiritual experience. You may have gotten warm fuzzies inside, but if you have not been changed, you have not been saved. Because believers follow Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Perhaps there are those here this morning who are currently like blind Bartimaeus rather than healed Bartimaeus. Perhaps you are here and you are blind to the things of God. Maybe you've tried church before, but you've never entered into a relationship with Christ. Perhaps you're hearing this truth, this good news, maybe for the first time. And God wants you to extend his merciful hand to you. You could say it this way in the story: God stopped for you this morning. And he's listening for you to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Would you come in dependence and desperation? If you're here this morning without Christ, or perhaps you're watching this from a different place, can I ask you to come to Jesus in desperation, and Christ will hear you. Let those of us who are saved remember that it was not because of our goodness that we are healed. Just like Bartimaeus, we are healed because of God's mercy. Let us see the people around us as enslaved by their sin, trapped in their sin, just like we were. May we be filled with the desire to share the good news of this mercy. Look forward to the day when one day, like Bartimaeus, in eternity, we too will shed the scales of these mortal eyes and gaze on our Savior face to face. One day we will see Christ. But until that day, we pray that through the mission of Community Baptist Church, that Jesus would rescue the perishing, care for the dying, because Jesus is merciful, and Jesus will save. As we conclude this morning, we have four application points for us. Number one, there's no hope outside of Christ. There's no hope outside of Christ. We see this wonderfully pictured with Bartimaeus casting off his cloak, that there's no need for that cloak anymore. because he's found Jesus. Without Christ, we are all blind beggars. We have no hope of ever seeing the light of the truth of the gospel. Bartimaeus, no matter how hard he tried, could not heal himself. Jesus had to open his eyes. And friends, no matter how hard you try, you can't save yourself. Jesus has to save you. Secondly, Jesus, hear all those who call out to him in desperation. But Pastor, you don't know my background. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. You don't know how long I've sinned. You don't know what people will think of me. You don't know how long I've gone to this church. And the excuses go on and on and on. But Jesus hears all of those, but only if they call out in desperation. The rich young ruler found no hope, but Bartimaeus did. Number three, like Jesus, we who are saved need to stop to minister to the spiritually blind who are around us. Do you see blind beggars all around you? It's the responsibility of those who have sight to lead those who are blind to Christ. Perhaps you've used the excuse that you don't have time, your life, your schedule is too important. And friends, Jesus was on the most important mission in all of eternity. He was on his way to Jerusalem to pay for the sins of mankind, and yet he stopped to give mercy to a blind beggar. Number four, genuine faith results in following Christ. A saved person is a changed person. Following Christ is not negotiable for a believer. Genuine faith results in following. What a wonderful, beautiful picture we have of God's mercy. For those who are unsaved, the response to this mercy is to call out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And for those of us who are saved, the response to this mercy that's been applied to our hearts is to open our eyes and to see the blind around us and to lead them to the one who can heal them. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage. Thank you for this picture of this blind beggar who in desperation called out to you and found healing. He found salvation in you. And Father, I pray that if there's one here this morning who would say, I am not saved, I'm blind, but I want to be, I pray that you would open their eyes to the truth. We always have a time of response and reflection in the morning service. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. Do you know for sure that you'll be with Christ when you die? Bartimaeus has been gazing on the face of Christ with immortal eyes for almost 2,000 years now. Will you be with him in heaven? Are your sins still chaining you in the darkness of your sin? And do you want to be freed? Are you willing to come out to call to him in desperation? Friend, if you're here and you've never been saved and you're desperate for that salvation, recognizing who Jesus is and calling out to him, would you call out in the stillness of this moment in your heart? Would you call out to God and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you call out and confess your sins this morning? If you did that, if you used the words of Bartimaeus, if you've never been saved before and you called out to Christ for salvation, I'm going to ask you in the quietness of this moment with everyone's heads bowed and everyone's eyes closed, if you called out to Christ for salvation, I'd love to know that. Would you just slip your hand up and down just so I know? Thank you. Anybody else? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Father, thank you so much that you gave your Son to pay the price for our redemption. As we prepare to remember your sacrifice on the cross, by participating in communion. Father, I pray that you would stir in our hearts a love and a thankfulness for your mercy. And in these moments, as we meditate on your truth, we find thankfulness for our salvation. I pray that you would grant us joy and great peace in your mercy.